The following recording is a presentation of the Brean Baptist Church of Roanoke Park, California, and of Pastor Val Mark Smith. We are an independent Baptist congregation committed to the accurate presentation of the historical doctrines of the faith. We welcome you to visit our services anytime here in the Roanoke Park area.
So take your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. And when you get there, would you please stand? We'll pick it up at verse 8. Yes, sir. Hebrews 2, verse 8. That reads, "That has put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." Verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." Verse 10, "For he became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." Let us pray. My Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to be here to preach your word. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor and the confidence he has to allow me to stand here and do this. Lord, I pray for you people, for those who claim to be Christians, Lord. I pray that you will put them in their heart that how important it is for us to gather here together, especially in these last days. Father, I pray for the missionaries that we support overseas, Lord. Pray that you will give them good fruit for the labor, Lord. Pray for our pastor and Pam, and the tremendous difficulties they're going through, Lord. We pray that you will give them comfort. And even though we don't understand why this is taking place, Lord, someday when we find ourselves in your glory, we will know and look back, and some of these things won't even register in our minds. Pray, Lord, that you will give me the boldness that I need to preach this message. Allow me, Lord, to be wise and use discernment and bless somebody with your word. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I built this sermon around that phrase there, the captain of their salvation. That is the title of the sermon, the captain of our salvation. The term captain should be familiar for anyone who spends time reading the Bible. That is because it is used many times to describe a number of positions in military conflicts throughout the scriptures. I'll give you a few examples. We read that kings were captains of their nations back in before Christ. Jephthah in Judges 11, verses 6 to 11. I'm not going to read all these verses because it's too much. It will take a long time, but I will give you the references if you want to take notes, and you can read them in your own time. Then we have Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 16, and chapter 10, verse 1. David, 2 Samuel chapter 5, and verse 2. Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20, verse 5. And every king was a captain of his nation, and also every king had a host of his army. That word host in your Bible simply means army or armies. When you read in your Bible and you find the phrase the Lord of hosts, it simply means the Lord of armies. The Bible tells us that God is a man of war. In Genesis 21, verse 22, we read, "And it came to pass that at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest." Genesis 26, verse 26, "Then Abimelech went on to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, chief captain of his army, Judges 4, verse 2, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. Judges 4, verse 7, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hands, into thy hand. 1 Samuel 14:50. And the name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz, and the name of the captain of his host was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. 1 Samuel 17:55. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of his host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. 1 Samuel 26:5. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. 1 Kings 2:32. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David, not knowing whereof, to wit, Abner, the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa, the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. So in Israel, there was a captain over every tribe. Of all the 12 tribes, every tribe had a captain. And you can read that in Numbers chapter 2, verses 3 to 29. Amasa tells, the Bible tells that Amasa was the captain of Judah in 1 Kings 2:32, and Adina was the captain of the tribe of Reuben, 1 Chronicles 11:42. If you spend time studying these verses, which I didn't, but I read them over and over again to verify this, but I didn't study them. It seems to indicate that each tribe had a captain, and every captain served in the army 1 month of active duty every year, which makes sense. 12 tribes, 12 captains, that covers the whole year. Now, there were captains of lower and smaller ranks. We have in the Bible captains of 1,000, 1 Samuel 17:15, captain of 100, Numbers 31, verses 14, 48, 52, and 54. We have captains of 50, 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9, 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 23 and 25. The title captain, in whatever context is used, is obviously a military term. The plain and necessary implication here is that this title applies to the Lord, because we, just as the children of Israel, the Hebrew children, were going across the wilderness, it's the same application for you and I in the Christian age. We're traveling through a rough terrain. Nobody likes Christians anymore. It seems like we're getting kicked out of everywhere, and we're running out of room. You know, because that's because we simply take a stand for everything that is wicked, and for that, nobody likes you. So it's the same application, really, on a different field. So we have an inheritance, just like the Hebrew children did. And our inheritance has been prepared by the Lord, and we're going to get it. We're going to get there. Eventually, we're going to get there. But our journey here on earth right now is hard. For that reason, we need a captain. We need a leader. We need somebody who knows the way, who knows the road, somebody who can get us there safely. So the responsibilities of a captain would be then to do the following. And this is where my sermon begins. Everything else was just free of charge. Number one, the captain must lead. He leads us into the fight. Joshua 5, verses 13 and 15. The most common fight of the Christian today is the one of personal sanctification. I don't know about you, but that is a struggle for me, and I'm sure it's a struggle for many Christians. How do you keep yourself holy? The Bible tells us that we have to be holy because God is holy. We serve a holy God. And it's difficult. Even in the workplace, some clown will crack a nasty joke and you can't help it because you probably heard it or it was funny and you laugh. You know, it just, you can't help it. So Joshua in chapter 6 gives us several key points of strategy to remember. Number one, if the fight is won, it will be given by the Lord. We read in Joshua 6 verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." Ephesians 6 verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." 1 Timothy 6 verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses." When it comes to doing anything for the Lord in every victory, we have got to understand that the Lord gets credit for everything. Whatever we can accomplish, if we're doing it for the Lord, he gets the credit. At least for me, when I got here, I had no idea that someday I will be called to step up here. I could not imagine that, but to me, it is a tremendous honor and a privilege to work alongside people who have the same interest as I do, and that is to take the gospel outside this building. And even though in America we're not seeing large numbers of people coming to Christ, but in other countries, people are being saved by the thousands because they see the value in Christianity. No other religion can guarantee and promise eternal life. Christianity does. We have the answers, but unfortunately, a nation that was founded on Bible principles doesn't want the Bible anymore. And I know that we're living in difficult times, and the hearts of many Christians are getting cold. God's people are not interested in attending church anymore. They're looking for a church that will give them something short and quick. Looking for a pastor that will give them a Burger King type of sermon, you know, have it my way, and I want it now. In today's Christianity, it's almost shocking to hear someone say, "I want to be saved." You don't hear that anymore. And even then, when they do get saved, you wait and see if they will make a commitment to serve the Lord faithfully. And I can understand this is probably a great struggle for someone who comes out of a religious system like Catholicism, Buddhism, or you name it, or someone who gets saved out of a nasty worldly habit, drugs and alcohol. For these people, it could be hard. I can understand that. But I do believe that someone who is saved, you will see a transformation in their lives over time. So when Paul was instructing Timothy how to behave in the ministry, he most likely had in mind the behavior of a Roman soldier. After all, he was always shackled to a soldier. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, we read, "Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that worketh entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." No soldier in any army, for those of you who have served, no soldier in any army does whatever he wants. No soldier will do whatever he pleases. He belongs to an army, and he surrenders all his rights to the authority of the people who are running that army. I find it incredible that men will submit themselves to tremendous sacrifices, including giving their lives to serve a government and get very little in return, or sometimes nothing. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ offers eternal life for free, and we consider serving him a burden. It doesn't make sense. Number two, it may require a great deal of patience. Romans 5 verses 3 and 4 reads, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." This is something that is lost nowadays. Nobody wants to wait for anything anymore, you know? Just like the cell phones, you get one that is fast, you want that is super fast. You get that super fast, you want that is lightning fast. There's no end to it. I grew up in a farm, and as a farmer, you have to wait. You have no choice. You have to wait for the rain to come, and then you have to wait for the crops to grow. It's a long process, and if you don't have any patience, you go nuts. You go crazy. So I get a little bit irritated when I hear people freaking out if they don't have a cell phone service. They behave like they're in the tribulation. It's crazy. Number three, it may require a great deal of perseverance. Ephesians 6, verse 18 reads, "Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." The Christian life is likened to the training of a soldier. And like I said, if you never serve in the army, you or any armed forces, you have no idea. But the making of it, of a good soldier, there's only one way to do it. You persecute that soldier. You persecute him and you put him through some impossible challenges to see if he has what it takes to endure the building up of a soldier, because a day will come when that soldier will have to face the enemy. And if he's not prepared physically and mentally, he won't stand a chance. He'll have to get the job done. A soldier who has experience in the art of warfare can survive in any environment. That's because he's always using 100% of his abilities, and the enemy will never be able to take him down. The Christian life is no different. A man or a woman who understands that there was a day when he or she was on his or her way to hell will give to the Lord 100% of his or her abilities. Always. You may not think that 100% is very much, but different people work at different capacities. But every member has something to contribute to the ministry. That's everybody. The only difference between the soldier and the Christian is that the making of a soldier begins with basic training in boot camp. But eventually that soldier will learn that the drill instructor is not trying to kill him. It's brutal. I can tell you that. That is brutal. And it takes a while to get it, but you'll get it. What that drill instructor is trying to do is he's preparing you for the day when you have to face the enemy. And believe me when I tell you this, whatever that drill instructor will put you through doesn't compare to what the enemy will do to you when they get you. They will skin you alive. That's brutal. So that soldier eventually has to be prepared to go out there and face the enemy and win the fight. An experienced soldier will discipline himself to stay in shape physically and mentally. He will be very familiar with his weapon. For us Christians, it has to do with how familiar are we with our Bible. Can you pop a couple of verses without looking in your Bible? Do you have them in your head ready? An opportunity will present itself at any given moment anywhere. And if you don't know anything about your Bible, you have to know the whole Bible, but you got to have a few verses ready to go, ready to shoot at any time. So the soldier has to be prepared. He's got to be familiar with his weapon. Never compromise and never let your guard down. As a Christian, you have no limitations as to how much you're willing to learn and grow spiritually. The question is, how are you investing your time? How is it that some can do a lot and some can do a little? It has to do with what you do, how you discipline yourself in investing your time in the things that are truly valuable. Number four, he leads in suffering. Hebrews 2:10 says that Christ was made perfect through suffering. This doesn't mean that he was made sinful before he was made holy by suffering. Christ was already holy and he was perfect in every way, but he did learn obedience as he was growing up as a child, because he's the only man that was 100% man and 100% God. So he learned obedience. And yes, he was furnished to do the work for which he came to do. Number five, his suffering made him an example to all his people who would have to endure trials in this life. I don't believe that there is a person in this world who doesn't have some kind of a challenge going on at any given moment. He's able to sympathize with those who suffer and bear them up in their temptations. Number seven, by his sufferings, an atonement was made for all sins. He was made perfect in that his death provided a finished work for our salvation. Suffering is another one of those areas that in our current generation, they can't comprehend it. They don't understand what it's like to suffer. You know, our people, our young people especially, they have no idea what it's like to go hungry for a few days. I like to read all history and the ingenuity of those people who were there, in many cases sacrificing their own lives just to make ends meet. And in the face of major calamities, these people never quit, they never gave up. We look back at how the people who went through the Great Depression, I don't know if you like to read about those things. I like to read about those things. And when I find myself crying or whining about something, I look back and I said, it's not that bad, really. I mean, you know, I can still have chicken or pork every day if I want to. It can't be that bad. But, you know, those people made it. One of the things that these people had is they understood what it's like to suffer. They knew that. But people now don't know, like I said, what it's like to go hungry for a few days. That's because we have, at least here in America, we have a surplus of everything. We have a lot. And it's very sad that when you have too much of everything, you don't appreciate the things that are truly valuable. Too much of a good thing is not good for you. So we have a surplus from clothing to entertainment, food, electronic devices. We have it all. This is what explains churches being empty. You know, when you have everything, you don't need God. You have it all. But when you're in a major crisis, please pray for me. I need help. Point number two, the captain must encourage. The best way to do it is to lead by example. One of those things that I never ask anyone to do is, if I can't do it myself, why would I tell somebody to do it? Set the example. Take your Bibles to John 13 and verse 13, and we'll read a few verses here. In there we read, John 13 and verse 13. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, you Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. In order to properly encourage, the captain must be a man of character. Set the example, you know. The Bible said, play the man, be a man. Character is another one of those things that is disappearing. In our culture nowadays, you have to sign a contract on just about everything. Even when you go to the store and buy a piece of candy, they give you a receipt because you might be a crook and come back and say, you never gave it to me and I paid for it. So they give you a receipt. No, you do walk out with it, so you have it. But I remember my grandpa, you know, my grandpa used to say that there was a time way back in the days when people had backbone and you didn't need to sign a contract. Huge business deals were done on a handshake. No contract needed. And you could trust these people because they kept their word. If they said that they will do something, they did it. They always did it. But now we have too many crooks and too many lawyers, and the lawyers are just as crooked as the crooks who hire them. Letter B, the captain must be a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 13 we read, and Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Again, it is impossible to govern a household, a city, a state, a company, or even a country without spiritual wisdom. You just cannot do it. We have kicked God out of our lives and replaced him with every sick perversion under the sun. And yeah, we still sing God Bless America every now and then. Would the Lord bless America? I don't know. You know, you got a tiny group singing God Bless America. You have another group somewhere else embracing homosexuality, legalizing drugs, killing the unborn, abusing the elderly, and doing all kinds of sick things. And with, please, God bless America. How can he? He can't. If you look around, God has begun to turn out the light on us, and confusion is taking over. You may not think that wisdom is a great gift. It sure is. Being able to make sound decisions is an incredible gift from the Lord. But when you see a young man pretending to be a woman, or a doctor mutilating that young man, trying to make him into something that is impossible to make. Not only that, they're demanding that we treat him as a female when he's not. That's confusion. But it doesn't end there. Our lawmakers know that the only way to get people to vote for them is to go along with the majority. So they introduce and sign laws that violate every fabric of moral decency. And if you refuse to call these people by whatever pronoun they want you to call them, then you're the criminal. You know, it is sad, but we need to witness to these people because they're just as lost as anybody else out there. They need the Lord. They need to hear the Lord. And some of these people grew up in church. I have met these people and I have witnessed to them. And I know God can save them. But boy, it's hard. It's very hard because some of these people are very intolerant and vicious. But we have to do it. In the face of this nonsense, some people are running scared. Some people are simply afraid. They don't go anywhere. They stay indoors with a loaded shotgun, waiting to see who's coming. Some are afraid. Some are afraid of the drug addiction problem that we have in our community. So they don't go anywhere because we've got junkies everywhere. Some are afraid of the number of criminals running on our streets. That's true. They're all over the place. Some are afraid that somebody will blow up a nuke one of these days. You know, when I go to bed at night, I don't think about any of these things. I sleep like a baby, snore like a Kodiak bear. I'm usually tired, super tired. And I always have a clear conscience. And on top of that, I have read the whole book, and I know how this thing is going to end. It's going to end with a bang. But I won't be here when that happens. People claim that we now have enough, the world has enough weapons to destroy this world many times over. But we need to bear in mind, like John and I were talking about this the other day, this tiny globe belongs to the Lord. And man is not going to destroy it. God is going to blow it up. Yes, some nut job out there will blow up a nuke one of these days, but they won't destroy the whole thing. God is going to do it when the time is right. I'm sure that some crazy guy will blow a nuke one of these days. That's coming. In the near future, it's coming. But like I said, they won't be able to destroy the whole thing. And if a nuke blows up near you, if you are saved, by the time you say, what happened, you'll be in glory. Because it's so quick. Oh boy, it's quick. And if you're not saved, you'll be in hell in a split second. So go to bed and sleep. Don't worry about it. Right now, our greatest enemy is not China, it's not Russia, it's not whoever out there. Our biggest enemy is God Almighty. And our biggest problem is that people don't fear Him. People have no fear of God. And that's dangerous, very dangerous. Let us see. A captain must be a man who overcomes all and every and any obstacle in the way to achieve his goals. This requires a great vision and a great deal of planning. You realize that God has planned every detail of your life and mine from before time began. That's incredible. And if that captain is working for the Lord, this will require a great deal of praying. I'm afraid that we underestimate the power of prayer. God doesn't always answer the prayers according to our will. He answers the prayers in three ways: yes, no, maybe. You know, He will never give you what you want, but He'll give you what you need. And so when we pray, it's not that He's not listening. There's something in the works that we don't understand. I always look back at the people that I have been able to deal with in the past, and I think of those of you who remember Brother Grant. Man, that man suffered, and I can never understand why he did go through what he went through. But he never complained with a smile. He always said to me, better days are coming, brother. Better days are coming. And I remember thinking, how can you say that? You're dying and you're saying that better days are coming. But he knew where he was going. That's why he was saying that. You know, then we look at Pam. You know, why is Pam going through what she's going through? It's horrible to see our pastor and Pam suffering this way. And we don't have an answer. We know that the Lord is in control and He knows what He's doing. But why we're going through this, we don't know. But we'll get the answer someday. So when we pray to the Lord and we don't get an answer to our prayers, we think that He's not listening. But when He does answer our prayer, we're surprised. which is an indication that we don't really believe that he's listening to our prayers. 2 Samuel 5, verse 8. And David said on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Millo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. The captain, letter D, the captain must be a man who is most honorable. 2 Samuel 23:18. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Seruiah, was chief among three, and he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them, and had three, and had the name among three. 2 Samuel 23:19 reads, was he not most honorable of three? Therefore he was their captain, howbeit he attained not unto the first three. No man should be appointed to a position of power unless he is qualified and has experience to fulfill that need. Because if he's appointed to a position of power and he has no experience, he's not worthy of the honor of that position. To exercise authority over other people, you have got to know what you're doing. Sadly, we have that all over the place going on right now. This is a major problem in churches and in secular companies today. Pastors have removed preaching from the pulpit and replaced it with counseling. That's what you hear. If you turn on your TV, you don't hear preaching, you hear counseling. They have removed the pulpit and they have a tiny little skinny podium, glass podium. Psychology is what they do. Put you in a swivel chair looking at the window. Tell you a story. Tell them that your problems are someone else's fault. Blame someone else. Maybe you're a loser, but they say, hey, don't. No, it's not your fault. It's someone else's fault. That's because they are afraid to declare the whole counsel of God and swing the sword in every direction. I always tremble every time a pastor asks me to do this because I'm afraid that a day is coming when I have to answer to the Lord for what I say from here. I don't take this lightly, and I know that this is a tremendous responsibility. But I like to spend time in the Old Testament. I read what these Old Testament prophets went through when they were speaking for the Lord. They were not afraid, even if they were put to death in some horrible ways. They never back down. So I understand that when I get up here, I am not in the business of sharing and caring. I'm here to preach the gospel of Christ. And if any unsaved person that is exposed to the preaching is offended or uncomfortable, I know that I'm doing my job. I'm here to make the miserable comfortable and the comfortable miserable. That's what I'll do. If you're not saved, you are probably uncomfortable by listening to my voice. And you will be uncomfortable until you bow the knee to Jesus Christ. I figure that if I can't win them, I will wound them, spiritually, of course. You know, plant that seed. Plant that seed in their head. Make them uncomfortable. Make them think. Let them walk out with something in their head. Make them think. I try not to let a person walk away if I meet somebody on the street who's never heard these things. I try to plant a seed. you know, let them walk away with something. Letter C, the captain must be a man who can listen to a proper request. You know, it's never a good idea to try to please everybody. That job is for the politicians. Christians will never be able to please everybody. But when someone is asking for something for someone else, it's a good idea to consider that request. There's a great story in 2 Kings chapter 4, which I'm not going to read, but if you want to read it, it's a great story. But a guy comes in asking for a woman that did something great for the prophet. And they say, what should we do for this woman? Read it when you have time. That's 2 Kings chapter 4. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. The captain must be a man who gives word of praise when someone deserves it. You know, don't be afraid to pat someone on the back and say, you did a great job. You know, let them know. Luke 19, verse 17, we read, and he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. This is the Lord at the very end. So the captain of our salvation is going to reward every soldier for his efforts. This is one of the reasons why I never get discouraged when people turn me down. Even when we preach here. Look at the crowd we have right now. This church should be overflowing. Should be full. We have enough members, but they don't want to come. But I don't get discouraged. And I'm not saying that these people are not saved. They probably are. But then we have hundreds of people drive up and down this road. They never stop to think. They don't think that. Stop by and see what we do here. But never get discouraged when people reject my message. I never do. That's because I know that a day is coming. I'll be there to see it. When everybody who has heard the gospel and they have rejected the Savior, they will have to bow. They will have to confess that Christ is Lord. You know, in my previous job, there was this one guy that had a boy. He could curse. He had a filthy mouth, and the name of the Lord was the first thing he always said. And he knew that I was a Christian, and every time he said that, he'll come to me and apologize. And I say, you know, don't apologize to me. You know, a day is coming when I'm going to see it, because I witnessed him so many times, and he will say no. I said, a day is coming when I'm going to be somewhere in the background, I'll see you bow. And he would just laugh. You know, I thought it was funny. But anyhow, finally, preaching is for the edification of the Christians. We always preach with the intention to edify Christians. That's the main goal of preaching. But we always hope that in the sermon, in the building, or someone out there would be listening to what we have here. Some unsaved person will listen to this. And we hope that they will consider what we say in here. Because what you do with Jesus Christ has eternal consequences, either negative or positive. So finally, every soldier in every army contributes something, and no soldier stands or sits around doing nothing. If you are a Christian and not doing anything, get busy. Remember that we have to face the Lord. Whether you are saved or lost, you have an appointment with the Lord. We have to meet him at the judgment seat of Christ before we go into eternity. So if you're not doing anything, get busy. You don't want to go into his presence with empty hands. And that's all I got. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you once again for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord, for the people that have come to listen to your word. Lord, again, we pray for our pastor and Pam. Pray that you will Bear them up in your hands, Lord, and comfort them at this time. Pray that you will allow Pam to come home and bless our pastor, Lord. Give him the strength that he needs to do what he's doing. Pray that he will bring us back on Sunday. Give us a good week, Lord. Let us allow us to be good witnesses of you out there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Brean Baptist Church of Roner Park, California. If you would like further information about our church, please feel free to call us at area code 707-584-7275 or write to us at Brean Baptist Church, 6298 Country Club Drive, Roner Park, California, 94928. Additionally, you may visit us online at www.bebaptist.org.